for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from Zexant Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2007 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Wednesday afternoon, July the 4th, 2007. Marvin Sistrunk is the speaker of this service, teaching on what is the role of the father to his household.
Father, we thank and praise you for this opportunity to come and to teach your word and Father, to minister. We just ask that the Holy Spirit just come and guide and direct all that is said and done today, that you will receive the glory and the praise. We thank you, Father, again for your love and your understanding, your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, and we'll start with in verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she should be holy without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is the great mystery that I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Father, we thank you for your word. Just bless it, Father, in Jesus' name. We're going to talk about, we have some $5 seats up front. They just went on sale. You want to move up front? Because, see, the further back you sit, the weaker the anointing is back there. If you want to get the real strong anointing, you need to sit on the front row up here. Okay? There you go. There you go. Where's my little wife? Okay. Bless her heart. She's a sweetie. But, you know, I'll tell this since she's not here. She went to the pizza store the other day, Pizza Hut, to get us a pizza. And so she ordered a pizza, and the guy says, you want this cut into six or eight pieces? And she said, all six. I don't think I can eat eight. Now, don't tell her that's too low. Somebody's just now got it. There you go. It's kind of drifting back that way. What's the role of the husband or the father in the household? I'm going to try to stick to my outline, my notes here. Jesus is the provider for all things. The father and the husband is to provide for the family. Abraham offered up Isaac as a sacrifice. And do you know what the mountain was called that he was on? Huh? The Mount of the Lord Will Provide. That was what it was called. The Lord Will Provide. So he provided for what was needed. And we always, when we talk about providing for the family, the first thing that pops in our mind is what? Money? Money. Yeah, we got to have money. We got to have money. But money can't do what time with a family can do. And I wish I had known all this and been taught this when I was a young man and starting out a family. Because, you see, I thought to provide for my family was money. And I worked 7 days a week. And I had, all at once I woke up and I had some teenagers that I didn't know. But we had everything they needed. You know, 2 cars, a big house, televisions and all this stuff, you know. They had everything except me. Because I was, quote, providing for them by working all the time. The husband is to provide protection for the wife. The husband is to know the weaknesses of his wife and minister to those, make provisions for those. If she's weak in housekeeping, he is to help her. Now, I'm going to get on the women's side. I'm going to get on the wives' side right here real quick, okay? Because we're outnumbered out here. If the wife works outside the home, the husband's responsibility for housekeeping and chores of the home are the same as hers. If she's working outside the home, the husband should be the one to help with the maintaining the house. But then, if she doesn't work outside the home, she's the one is to maintain the home as far as the keeping it clean, keeping the meals prepared, and things like that. For 52 years, Kathy and I have been married, and I'm not close or anything, but we've always shared the household chores, especially when she worked outside the house, when she held down a secular job. We both worked together for it. Our children, we trained our children how to do housework. We had 3 boys, and we got 3 boys right now who have families. They're good cooks. They can iron, they can wash, they can sew. And 2 of them really needed that. 2 of them really needed that. I mean, good daughter-in-laws, but they just didn't get the part of the domestic things. But being a father and a husband is a big responsibility. It really is, because you're going to answer to the Lord for your family. You're going to stand before the Lord for what your family does. The husband should provide food and clothing for the family. Now, there's a difference between desire and needs. We need food and we need clothing. But we don't need designer jeans and designer shoes and things like that. I was in the retail clothing business for a few years, and it really opened my eyes to the way you get ripped off on clothing. You say, well, I've got to have, well, back then it was Gitano labeled. Oh, that was the thing. That's all it was a label. They were made in Korea or China or someplace, the jeans were, and they'd load them on the ship and as this, they were called factory ships. Say, the store, say our store ordered 100 dozen of Gitano jeans, well, they'd get the 100 dozen of those and sew that label in there. Then the store down the street needed some Lee jeans. They sold in the same jean, they sold the Lee label in there. Same way with tennis shoes and things like that. You get ripped off. You're buying a name, not a product. I mean, not a good product. Whatever you need, they'll put a label in it for you. But in providing for things, when a husband is to provide, he is to seek God's direction. He must seek God first. Husband and wife should seek to agree on the goals of the family. In Amos it says, can two walk together unless they agree? You should come into agreement on your finances into agreement on how you're going to discipline the children, who is going to be the disciplinarian, and you need to be in agreement because children know how to play mom and dad against each other, and they start real young. They'll come to you and, "Daddy, can I go out and play?" Ask your mother. Go see mother. "Daddy said I could go out and play." They learn that real quick. And it works into their teen years and all. Goals form without communication. Seems like neglect and abuse to the family. Listen to your wife. The other night we was talking about choices. Listen to what your wife has to say, husbands. Let her have say so in all your decisions. But then again, you make that final decision. You're the husband. You're the head of the house. You make that decision. You're to provide an education. You're to plan for your children's future. You're to see that they go to school. You're to see that they maintain good grades in school. It's not mama's responsibility. It's the husband because he's head of the house. He has that responsibility. The father, when there is a meeting at school with the teacher, parent-teacher, the father needs to be there. The father needs to be there. And you say, "Well, the father doesn't have time." Yay, this. Where's his priorities? Where's his priorities? Husbands should provide discipline and order for the home. The husband and wife should come in an agreement of what type of punishment they're going to use. We're going to take in Ephesians 6:4, Proverbs 22:6, and Proverbs 22:16. It's talking about the rod, using the rod. And you know, I haven't found any place in the Bible, and I've looked, where it says time out, grounded, or go to your room. It's not there. Sent my boy, oldest boy, to his room one day. I just said, "Go to your room." I had a sign for him. He had a TV in there, stereo, games, all that stuff, you know. Only thing he didn't have was a refrigerator, you know. Fine. He was happy in his room. But if you take and use what the Bible says, use the rod, and do it then and not later, when it happens, don't say, "Well, when you get home, boy, you're going to get it." Or mother says, "When your daddy gets home, he'll take care of this." What does that do? That puts fear in that child. He don't want daddy to come home. And it may be that he did something in the morning, and it's 5 or 6 o'clock when dad comes home. The boy's already forgot what he messed up, what happened. Because he's already played and all that stuff. Comes home, dad comes in, mama says, "Go whoop Johnny." That happened to me one time. I was on the road, I traveled a lot, and I came in and called Kathy. I said, "I'm home. Just got in." She said, "Go spank Becky." I went in there, I spanked her and come back and figured, "What for?" You know? But you see, I didn't know all this when I was growing up. They didn't teach it in the church. The church does not teach how to be a father or a husband. They don't teach it. Oh, it's instructions in the Bible and all, but nobody teaches it. Use God's Word. Use that Word. Study the Word. Our granddaughter, we called her and was talking to her, and she says, asked her how things were going. She was still in high school. And she said, "I'm double grounded." Double grounded? Yeah. "Well, I got grounded last week, and I messed up, and daddy grounded me again, so I'm double grounded." But what happens when you ground your child? Okay, you're grounded for 5 days. 5 days. Second day, "I need to call Mary Jane. She has the homework. Oh, I need to call Johnny. He has the new baseball schedule." Well, all right. You can go call him. What's happened? It's over. You've lost it. And don't think they don't know how to work it. You know? So if you, when they messed up, if you used the rod, you spanked them, got it over with, they're happy, you're happy. That's right. You know? And never use the rod when you're angry. Never use the rod when you're angry. I used to have a school teacher. She would, oh man, she would spank you at the drop of a hat. That's when they could still do it in school, you know? And she'd cry all the time while she was doing it. She'd bring you up her to the desk, and she had a little board, and boy, she'd just be pounding you, and just tears running down her eyes, you know. But when we discipline, and we let them know why they're being disciplined. They've got to know, and you've got to explain to them why. And you say, I'm doing this because I love you, pow, you know. And they're saying, if you loved me, you wouldn't hit me. No, you messed up. You did something that was wrong, and you need to be punished for it. We're going to punish you now, get it over with, and you're not going to do that again. And if you do a good job the first time, they're not going to do it again. If they feel the effects, and some of you are saying, oh, I can't do that. I won't do that. Well, let me tell you, either you do it now, or you go down to the county jail and visit them when they're 16, 17 years old. One or the other, right. And don't ever say, well, my child wouldn't do that. They will. I don't care whose child it is, they're going to do something to mess up. They're going to try you, they're going to try the system. Like I say, I wish I'd known all this before when I was younger. Another thing that the husband is to do is to provide security for the wife. His wife needs to be number one in his life. Have eyes only for her. Nobody else. He should look upon her and no other woman. Provide health for her. Make sure she has a healthy life. Make sure her home is in good working order. Make sure you keep everything repaired. Now, Kathy, she knows how to work things. Hi. Oh, she came in. Hello. Oh, she came in. Well, she we owned the home there when we lived in El Paso, and it was really ill arranged, and our dining room was over here, and there's a wall here, and we had to make a long walk from the living room to get to the dining room and the kitchen. And she says, we need to cut a hole right here, an entryway in this wall. That way we wouldn't have to walk around the hall and all that stuff. My excuse was, oh, there's electric wires running all through there, you know. You can't do that. Well, I put it off for a long time. Sitting there one day, watching TV, and here she come with a power saw. I said, what are you fixing to do? She said, I'm going to cut a hole in this wall. I said, no, you're not. I'll do it. She didn't know more how to turn that saw on anything, but she got me to do it. And it turned out that you know, it was a good idea that she had. It was hard to admit that, but I did. I admitted that. We're short on time, okay? All right. But, you know, husbands, little things like that, really, you know, it didn't cost much to do that. It made her happy, and when she's happy, I'm happy, you know. And, you know, that's right. If mama's not happy, nobody's happy. Husband came in the bedroom one night, and he had two aspirins, a glass of water. Walked over to the wife, and she said, what's that for? He says, well, it's two aspirins, a glass of water. She said, I don't have a headache. He said, good. The husband should provide a good name. A husband should have a good name in the community. My dad didn't leave me very much. Didn't leave me hardly anything. But he did leave me a good name. He was well respected in the community where he farmed. He could go into a bank or even call a banker and say, I need $100,000 to farm on this year. They say, you got it. When he sold out and we've auctioned off all his equipment, people came from everywhere to, because they knew his equipment was well taken care of. My dad used to judge farmers by not the crops they made, but he would drive down and look at the rows. If the rows were nice and straight, he'd say, he's a good farmer. He never did let me lay out the rows. I couldn't. But you see, that was a good name. And I always said that when I pass on, I don't want them to go and through my stuff and find something that's going to embarrass the family. I don't want them going through a desk drawer or a closet or dresser drawer and finding something that would embarrass the family. Think about that. Think about that. Husbands, fathers, a well-respected name is better than jewels and money. Keep that in mind. The husband has to be the protector. Husband must protect his family in three different areas. One of them is financial. Man must take the responsibility for financial decisions. He needs to work diligently. He must use wisdom with the family money. He must be advised and aware of the income and outgo and have a plan for saving and conserving the family income. He has financial goals. His financial goal is to be careful and communicate those goals to the family. And for years, Kathy took care of all our finances. She was in the banking business. She was a banker. I just let her take care of it until I found out that it was my responsibility. When I took over, I paid the bills. I still do. I pay all the bills. I sign all the checks. It's not that I don't trust her or anything. It's not her responsibility. It's not her worry. It's mine. And the first thing I do when I get ready to pay bills or anything like that, write out checks. I write out a tithe check first. That's the first thing that I write out is a tithe check. And I always have money left over. Don't pay your bills and say, well, I've got $10 left, we'll give that to the Lord. You write out your tithe check. Now, your tithe check is 10%, and you set that goal, whatever that 10%, if it's 10% of gross, 10% of net, there's arguments on that, but you set that yourself, husbands. You take the 10% of either your gross or your net, whichever you want to do. I think the Scripture says that your increase. But you write that check out, the first thing, and then you pay your bills. Then you pay your bills, and you'll have money left over. Stay away from credit cards as much as possible. But it's getting nowadays where you can't do business hardly without a credit card. You know, I don't know about in this area now, Walmart, you have to use your debit card. You write a check, they give the check back to you. So I don't know how they do it in this area, but in my area, write a check, they give it back to you. So you almost have to use your debit card, your bank debit card. Okay. They're working it where everybody's going to have a credit card to survive, or pay cash. Financial goals. Pay your bills. Keep your wife informed. Let her know how your finances are. Tell her, okay, we've got this to pay. We've got this much money. We're going to pay everything, and what's left over, we're going to live on. But if you'll pay that tithe check first, you'll have plenty to live on. You know, you cannot make an offering unless you pay your tithes. You have to pay your tithes before you can make an offering. That's another principle of giving. Physically, your wife and your family, you're physically responsible for them and what they eat, how they exercise, their hygiene, providing a comfortable home for them, protecting them from evil. That's your responsibility. That's what the husband is, the protector of the family. And those are the things that physically he needs to do. Provide a comfortable home, sufficient clothing, food, and so forth. Providing a good home, that means it doesn't have to be a big mansion on a hill. It means, that there's window screens on. It means there's no leaky faucets. Generally, those are little things that need to be taken care of. They're very inexpensive to do, but they make the home more comfortable. Just fixing a lock on the door. Or building a shelf. Hey, ladies, you like to have a shelf. Kathy's always wanting a shelf. She's always wanting you. Have you got a nice board? I keep nice boards around. Well, she needs a shelf someplace. But to make the home comfortable, you have to keep it maintained. Like I said a while ago, if she has a problem of being a housekeeper, that's your job to show her how. You're to train her. How to be a good housekeeper. How to keep things organized. How to keep everything picked up. And how to keep the clothes washed and the dishes washed. It's the husband's responsibility for that. Goes back. He's head of the house. And ladies, if you're staying at home and you don't have to go out and work, but you're able to stay home, like I said, you're to keep that house clean. Because when he comes home, he expects a clean house. Expects a good meal. So turn off the soap operas, and take care of the home. Take care of the children. And don't say, when your dad gets home. No, you take care of the discipline while Dad's away. Then you inform Dad what took place and how you took care of it. But you need to be in agreement. And shouldn't have opinions, but anyway, I do. In a mixed marriage, where there's children coming in from through their marriage, the husband is still head of those children that come into that family. That needs to be discussed before there's a marriage. He is going to be the head of that house. Those children that come in from the other side of the marriage, he's responsible for, and he should be the one that has the say-so over them. It's not, well, those are my children. You can't discipline them. You need to get that worked out before you get married, because if you don't, there's going to be problems in the marriage. I've seen it too many times. Too many times. God appointed man as the protector of the family. Adam and Eve is an example. Eve committed the sin, but Adam was responsible. God came to Adam. He didn't come to Eve, because it was Adam's responsibility. The difference between guilt and responsibility, guilt is when someone has negated their responsibility. Responsibility is when a person has taken all the glory and all the reproach for their actions. So he messed up. He did something wrong. He takes that responsibility. It's my fault that I did it. But he needs to, don't blame it off on somebody else. Don't do like Adam said, that woman you gave me. Don't try to put it off on somebody else. The father is to protect the family spiritually. He needs to make sure that they go to church, that they're involved in church. He is to make sure that wherever they're going, the church is preaching God's Word, is teaching God's Word. Again, it's the responsibility of the father, the husband of the house. He is to be the priest of that house, as Christ is a priest over us. The father or the husband is the priest of the house. He is to pray early in the morning. He is to read his Bible daily. He is to be prepared to lead his family in prayer. He's to He is to go to church with the family, not send them. Don't send them to church. You take them to church. But you have to be the priest. Strict obedience to God's Word. Lead the family in praise and worship. Guide the family in learning the Word of God. It's his responsibility. Our oldest son was going to have angioplasty for a heart condition they thought he had. And so our little five-year-old granddaughter, she was about five, so they set her down and was explaining this, that what they were going to do, they was going to put some stuff in Daddy's blood, and they was going to take a picture of the heart and see what was wrong. 5 years old, and she says, you know what they'll see? They'll see Jesus. Whew. When they told me that, just, oh, wow. Now, she says she knew her daddy knew Jesus because he portrayed it. She recognized that. And he's the one that gave us so much trouble, and he's the one that we had to put out of the house. And we put him out of the house, turned him over to the Lord, and said, Lord, he's yours. Take your hands off of him. Involved in church, leading children's church, going on mission trips, things like that. Yeah, it was tough. As he took what clothes he had out of the house, he said, I don't have any place to live but my pickup. And that's what he did. He lived in his pickup for a while. But today, things are a heck of a lot different. It's hard to do that, but you have to. You have to be the head of the house. So we looked at what the father or husband's role is. He's a protector, provider. He's a priest. So in raising children, the father is instructor in raising the children. A child's mind is like Jell-O. You need to put something in it good before it sets. If you know, once Jell-O sets up, it's hard to get any fruit cocktail in it. So before a child's mind gets set in its ways, you need to put something good in it. Things that you need to concentrate on, and as far as the birth of a child, how was that child conceived? Was that child conceived out of anger, being drunk, rape? How was that child conceived? What was the condition and the relationship of the husband and wife when that child was conceived? Was it good or bad? That's some of the things you have to take into consideration and watch out for is how that. And when you speak, when the woman is carrying the child in the womb, and you women know this, that baby, I don't care how small it is, knows what goes on. It will react to the things that's going on between father and mother. It will react. We had a niece, her first baby, when all the time she was pregnant, she sang this one song every day to this baby. She would sing that song. After the baby was born, if the baby was fussing, she'd sing that song. And the baby would calm down. So they know what goes on. They know if the father says, wow, you're pregnant again, we can't have another child, we just had one. We can't afford that. That affects that child. Spirit of rejection enters that child right there, still in the womb. And the fathers protect things like that. It's his responsibility. Then another thing that affects the life of a child is the difficulty in birth. Was it prolonged labor or at home or hospital? Was it a natural birth? Induced labor? Was the father present in the labor room? Nowadays, they allow that. They allow the fathers in the labor room or delivery room. They're right there. When ours were being born, they sent you to a waiting room and you didn't get to see that baby until it was all cleaned up and all that stuff, and they'd come out and say, Mr. Sistrunk, you got another boy. Nowadays, you can be in there when that baby's delivered. And the thing to do is, as soon as that baby is born, the mother and father should hold that baby. Especially the father should hold that. That's called bonding. And you can tell when a child is bonded with the father how their reactions are. But that's something that they've learned, and that's something that they allow nowadays, is the father to be in the delivery room. And it makes a lot of difference. Of course, the mother may call the father some names and stuff like that during delivery. And our daughter, she went to delivery, and mother was in there with her. I've changed my mind! Too late, Becky. Too late. Who should take care of the child? A mother or a daycare? Mother. The mother should be the caregiver. And the cost of daycare nowadays, we hadn't had to deal with that until our granddaughter was telling us how much she was paying out for daycare. And so she got down and she's fixing to have another one and got to put the pencil to it. It's cheaper for her to stay at home. Daycare is expensive. Not only financially, but the emotions of the child. The emotions of the child. Again, the parents must be in agreement about regarding this one. The parents, the father, and mother both should be involved in the school activities. If there is a PTA meeting or a council meeting, something involving your child at school, you need to be there. You need to be there. Because what does that do? That boosts the ego of the child. I mean, they have more self-esteem, more confidence. I coached Little League Baseball for a good many years, and we would have, beginning of the season, we'd have this list of players, and you'd go call them, the players, and let them know, so, I'm Mr. Sistrunk, I'll be coaching your team this year, you're on the Cardinals. And they'll say, oh, I didn't sign up for baseball. Daddy did without consulting the kid. That's wrong. Daddy would bring the kid to the practice and leave him and go off. Wouldn't show up for the games. How do you think that child felt? Abandoned. Rejected. Just getting that child out of daddy's hair or mama's hair. We were just talking the other night. We worked with some teens there in El Paso, and one of the teen girls said, I wish my mother would tell me no. All she does is give me money and sends me to the mall to get out of her hair. How do you think that child feels towards her parents? Rejected, abandoned, unworthy. Check out the children's friends. Who friends do they have? What kind of friends do they have? Who are they seeing? Who are they playing with? Who are the parents of these children? That's the responsibility of the father. Find out who is having influence over your child. We had an incident in El Paso, not in El Paso, it was in Plainview. One of the police officers was telling me about, we had a bunch of burglaries, and they finally traced it to this particular house, and they got a warrant and went in to search this house and went into this one room, and all these electronic things were there and stereos and all this stuff. And the police captain asked the mother, says, didn't you know this stuff was in there? The boy is 14 years old. And she said, no, I'm not allowed to go in his room. Who's in charge in that family? the kid is. Where is the father? No place, didn't know where the father was. He was out of pocket. He was gone. The responsibility of the parents is to love their children, to mold that child in the way of God. What the child sees the father do, they'll copy. They're real impressionable. There used to be a commercial on, and I think it was the Mormons, had it out. It was a very good commercial. Dad was sitting under a tree. Little boy, maybe 3-4 years old, sitting here. Dad took out a cigarette and lit it up. The little boy took a twig, and I saw Daddy do it. Why can't I do it? Follows in his daddy's footsteps. If Daddy is yelling and screaming at Mama, what's he going to do? He's going to yell and scream at his wife, because that's the example he saw at home. Fathers, it's a big responsibility to raise a child. I know when we brought our first one home, Kathy was 20 and I was 22. Brought the little one home and took him out of his little bassinet thing, laid him on the bed and unwrapped him. Was turning him over, looking. Kathy says, "What are you doing?" I said, "Where's the instructions?" You know, I get a new saw and we got instructions on how to operate it. They don't come with instructions. But you got to have the guidance and direction of the Lord in raising your children. Train up a child in the way that he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. Isaiah 54:13 says, "And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children." The children will copy whatever goes on in the home. If you want to know what's going on between mom and dad, ask a little 3 or 4 year old. They'll tell you. They've got sharp ears. And they know what goes on. Do they attend church? Do you attend church regularly? Do you go to church? Do you go to Sunday school with them? Build a relationship with them. Our pastor, when his children were growing up, he had a daughter son was the oldest. But when his daughter got up to age where boys would want to ask her out, he took her out on a date. He would take her out on a date and show her how a boy should act towards her. How he was to respect her. She knew then when she went out on a date how this boy should act. And I thought that was very good policy. And he also showed his two boys the same thing. How they should treat a girl. How they should respect a girl. It's building a relationship. Like I say, this, I wish I'd had all this teaching and all this knowledge when we were growing up or with our families, but by the grace of God, our children did turn out good. We were proud of them. But the parents are to instill the Word of God in those children. From the time they start out, just like our little granddaughter, she knew for sure that Jesus lived in her daddy's heart. And you have to instill that into them. You have to portray that because they're watching everything that you do. You have to make time for them. That same, another granddaughter, she was about 3 or 4. She was living with us for a short period of time and I was reading the newspaper and she came down and she came over and she started talking to me and I just had the newspaper like that. I was hearing what she said, but she took and moved the newspaper, got a hold of my face and turned my face towards her and she said, "Papa, when I talk to you, look at me." Why? Because if I'm looking at her, I'm listening to her. That taught me a lesson. That taught me a lesson. All these children can teach you some lessons if you'll learn. What are they teaching in school? Do you know? Do you know what they're teaching in school? How many of you have children or grandchildren that's studying Harry Potter? Huh? You know, some schools require that as reading. They have to make book reports on it. Why do you, if your child is doing that, why do you allow that? You don't have to allow that. You don't have to, they don't have to read those things. Oh, they'll fuss, the school will fuss, but you have the right to take them out of that class. They'll tell them to read Harry Potter, but they won't let them read the Bible. And one of the things that in Texas now, we're getting more school districts are putting the Bible, a Bible study back in the school systems. They're defying and they're standing up because some parents have said no, they've had enough. Alternate lifestyle teaching. You know that's going on in some of your schools? Teaching the lifestyles of homosexuality? Do you know that? Have you been to school to check out the things that they're teaching them? Alternate lifestyles. It's your responsibility, Father. You're to discipline your child, have a discipline program. And let me read here. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and the reproof gives wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother shame. Hebrews 12:7-8, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there that the father does not chasten? Verse 8, but if you are without chastening, of whom all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. And the old King James says, bastard. If a father fails to discipline his child, a bastard curse comes upon that child. So, discipline is very important in a child's life. It doesn't mean that you're having to, give them swats and all that stuff. Discipline is guiding and educating. And you need to do that. Because if you do it while they're young, they get out in the world, they've been disciplined. They know how to react and how to discipline themselves in the world. Make rules. Okay? Make some rules for the house. Make rules for what your children are to follow. But make rules that you're willing to stand behind. You make a certain rule and you don't stand behind it, everything's out the window. If you say you are to be in this house at 10 o'clock, that doesn't mean 10:10. That doesn't mean 10:15. That means 10 o'clock. And you set a punishment if they don't come in. Had a nephew. His mother put a 10 o'clock. Well, he come in at 10:15. She said, well, it's okay this time. Okay, but don't do it again. Next time it's 10:30. Well, now, you know you're not supposed to be doing that. You're supposed to get here. Next time it's 18 years in the pen. Because she didn't follow the rules that she laid down. The father was overseas in Vietnam. But once you make a rule, you make a rule that you are willing to stand behind. And talk to your children about the rules. Ask them. And you'll get honest answers. If you sit down and talk to them about rules and regulations, you set out the rules and you set out the punishment for that. If they break that rule, talk to them, and you'll be surprised. They'll help you set the rules. Because most of them really want to be disciplined. They really want to be kept in check. What kind of friends are they hanging out with? Do you know where they are? Ours had a rule, if this, like in the summertime, if it was dark, they had to be in the house. I don't care what was going on. They had to be in the house. Our oldest son was, I think he was senior in high school. And it was back when the CB craze was going on, you know. And he came to me one day, he said, "Dad, could I have a CB? All my friends have got one, and, you know, we would talk back and forth." And I said, "Yeah. I think I can arrange to get you a CB. That's, y'all know what that is, don't you? It's a cuss box. I mean, CB." A CB was a citizen band radio. It was called CBs, but most of the truckers, when they use them, it was called a cuss box. Anyway, I got him a CB and put it in there. He was really happy. I said, "Now, your curfew's still 10 o'clock. One night, it was about 10:30, he hadn't come home. I went out to my car. I got on the radio and called him by his, I don't remember what his handle was. I said, "It's 10 o'clock. You need to be home." Oh, he came home. Because that went out all over. Everybody heard that. "Why did you do that?" I said, "You're supposed to be here at 10 o'clock. You weren't." I said, "I'll do it every time. Didn't have to worry anymore." He didn't want his friends hearing, "Daddy calling him home." Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And your fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. It's Ephesians 6:1. We don't have any teens in here, but if you'll read that, it says, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise." Now, what is a promise? What does it say? "That it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." That's the promise. What would be the opposite of that if you didn't honor your mother and father? That's right. Short life. Tormented life. That's right. And when I teach teens or youth, I bring that out. You want a short life? Dishonor your mother and dad. Disobey them. Bring them up in the Lord. We've looked at some things that some of you might think is kind of harsh. Check out who they're going with. Check out their friends. Nowadays, check their computer. If they have a computer, check their computers. Because, you know, if it's in your house, it's yours. Amen. Well, I don't like all this stuff, all these tapes and videos he's bringing home. Where does he get the money? Well, I give him the money. Hello. Don't give him the money and he can't bring and buy that stuff and bring it home. You have control over that child's life. Our oldest son, he talked back to his mother one day. Took him to his room. He was 17 years old. I said, "Bend over." He said, "If you spank me, I'm going to leave home." I said, "Bend over." I spanked him. Went over to the closet and got a suitcase and threw it on the bed. I said, "Pack." No more problems. No more problems. That was a good lesson for the other three. You know, you have to kind of make a scapegoat. Well, that was him. The oldest, you know, he was always, you practiced on me, you know. That's right, because he was the first one. But really, the responsibility of being a parent nowadays is humongous. And I know we have our grandchildren that's growing up and some of the things they face and some of the temptations that's out there. It's a lot. Temptations. But parents, you need to know what's going on in their life. You know, you need to set the rules. You need to be the one that says yes and no. Well, Johnny's doing it. Well, let Johnny do it. You don't need to follow into somebody's footsteps. But if you don't have that relationship, they're going to look for somebody that they can have a relationship with, where it's good or bad. You need to form a relationship. Fathers, you need to have a relationship with your daughters. Because if you don't have a relationship with your daughter, she's going to find some male that she can have a relationship with. And generally, it's not good. The sons are the same way. They're going to find somebody that they can look up to and have a relationship with. Time and time again, we've ministered to teens that have had no relationship with their father. And the big thing nowadays is where there's absentee fathers. So many absentee fathers. In the Sunday school class that we used to teach, there was about 18 teens in there. And there was only two of them that had their biological mother and dad. Out of 17 or 18, only two. They were brother and sister. Where is the fathers? Where's the absentee fathers? That's when the lady is looking for a husband, she needs to have some rules. She needs to be the one that checks him out. What kind of background does he have? Don't go to the bars looking for a husband. Or what's that computer website? Harmony.com? What? Oh, okay. I don't think, you know, I've just seen the advertisement on it, you know. Trying to. Well, it's like mail order brides, you know, yeah. Take a chance on what you get, you know. That might work, you know. But I'm kind of the old fashioned guy, you know. I only had one wife, first and last one, you know. She had real strict rules. And her mother said, if you want to date her, you're going to follow these rules. She still has real strict rules. She just about got me trained after 52 years. But the Lord's been good to us. Our children have not embarrassed us or the church. I thank the Lord for that. But lead your children, grandchildren, in the ways of the Lord, and all will go well with you. Okay? Let's stand to our feet. We can get out a little early today. Everybody, see, I don't know how y'all are about following instructions, but you need to. You've been saying, do this. Kind of check you out. Can you do that? You can do that? Can you do this? Look. Can you do that? Yeah, that's easy, right? Now touch your chin. Okay. Huh? All your chin's down here. That's like, you know, that's like walking down the beach and says, look at that dead bird. Where? Father, we thank you and praise you for this time. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for the attendance of the people, Father. And we know, Father, that raising children and being the head of the household is no easy task. Father, we know that we need to call upon you, that we need to have you in our life, in our family life. We need to guide our family and our children. in the ways of you, Father. And we just give you praise that you make it available for us, your teaching on how to become a family, Father. You laid that out in your Word, Father, and we thank you for that, Father. In the name of Jesus, right now, we just pray a blessing over all here today, Father, that they're blessed people, that you bless them in all that they do. And I just bless each one, especially the fathers and the husbands. Bless them, Father, in all that they do, that they become head of their house, Father. They become head of the family, Father, in the name of Jesus right now. We just ask that you bless each one of them. Bless them all. Bless each father here today, Father. Just bless each one. And we give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.